Connecticut to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Happy Monday morning to you. Glad you could be with us on this. This is the holiday week. It's the holiday season. Anyway, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with me, your show host. All you do is text me, and I'll do my best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Coming up on the program today, We're wide open the first hour here. We had to move Representative Fiddler, who's our usual Monday guest. She asked for an extra half hour, another obligation she had to tend to. So we'll get to her at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Coming up on the program also, Dale Jackson from WVNN and Yellowhammer News. He'll make time for us in the 10 o'clock hour as well. And then finally, former Congressman Jerry Carl, now running for Congress once again for the first congressional district. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. That's on the way. Let's see here. We're still waiting on some Epstein documents. Yesterday, the Sunday shows, it was all about what punitive action that Democrats are going to take against the Trump administration for not adhering to the law. I don't know if there's criminal penalties or civil penalties, but the entirety of the Epstein documents were supposed to be released on Friday, and of course they weren't. There was a lot of Bill Clinton associated documents that got released. And not really what the big bad orange man is evil crowd wanted, but look, the law's the law, and you know, this is what Congress voted on that needs to be adhered to. So they're still trying to make some hay out of that. I think I don't know if it's the law of diminishing returns or who really cares, but there's the top of the news cycle. Also this week. And Turning Point USA had their America Fest. How many of you kept up with this or watched this? And they had Nicki Minaj was the guest of honor, or the surprise guest. I guess the guest of honor would have been J.D. Vance. But the whole event's sort of marred by a weird infighting civil war, which is supposedly like represents what's going on in the conservative movement. So my question to you guys is, how many of you even are aware of this or care or are interested in any of it? You're like, what are you talking about? So, Turning Point USA is Charlie Kirk's organization, the late Charlie Kirk. And they do these big gatherings. They did their big gathering in Arizona. It's like what CPAC used to be before CPAC got really clever and started moving around. But it's sort of the one confab for the conservative movement. Saw these, you know, right of center nonprofits, organizations. They send their people. They have booths at the exhibit hall or whatever. Then everybody gives speeches. Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon. I know the guys on the morning show talked a little bit about it. And what we're told by our media betters is that this is ground zero for Republican Party politics, everything that happens on the right, Trump world, MAGA. And I just, if you walk up to somebody on the street, and maybe they even have a MAGA hat on, does anybody care? Who's keeping up with this? Because there's a big fight over, and we do it on this show all the time, about Israel, anti-Semitism. Define anti-Semitism. Is it, you know, what you believe about the nation of Israel and its right to exist? The way it's being framed. But nonetheless, okay, so there's that. That's the fight. That's the internal dynamics. Nick Fuentes is interviewed by what Candace Owens is tweeting about. That's the fight. That's what we're told is this rift, a schism. It's going to take down the conservative movement. It may not even take it down. It's just there. And we've dedicated a lot of time to this, analyzing the sides. And the problem is, and then there's, yes, Ben Shapiro, who I worked with at Breitbart for a little while. What do you do with it? I don't think it matters. I think it's like this big giant soap opera that we're going to talk about on this show because that's what we do. When it comes time for elections, when it comes time to pick the next presidential candidate for Republicans, when it comes time to determine, if necessary, what U.S. foreign policy should be regarding the Middle East and primarily Israel, we'll figure that out. You pull it, and I know how a lot of you feel about it, but you pull it, it still polls pretty well that Americans generally support doing what they can to back Israel. And then don't text me that they have socialized medicine and allow for abortions. That's not relevant to this discussion. That maybe there's some shades of gray here, as what there is with any issue. But who goes to bed at night? And tell me if you are one of these people worried about this stuff. I do this for a living. I talk to these people every day. And I just think this is just sort of the soap opera of the moment. You have these dramas every so often, every 5 years or so, there'll be a feud. We'll have some, you know, discourse about it. And then it's on to the next election. It's back to going after AOC. It's back to going after Chuck Schumer, Nancy, you know, you go through these things. And in a way, it's kind of healthy. The Democrats don't do this. The left doesn't do this. They will have to. And I think a lot of these incumbents on the Democrat side are having primary challenges. But they don't do this. And at some point, there's going to be that release is going to have to happen. They're going to have to like figure out what they're for, what they're against, and what their priorities are. Now, when you're in the opposition, you don't really have to. You're united around your common cause, is united around Donald Trump or opposition to Donald Trump. And what the Democratic Party had so cleverly done during the Biden administration was made it seem like Trump was still president, I guess, and that he had to be stopped at all costs. And they spent 4 years while they were in charge going after the former president, a private citizen. And we can talk about the merits of that, but the politics of it worked out for the left, the Democratic Party, because they had something to rally around and not fight amongst one another. And we talk about this all the time. They haven't had a real primary since Hillary Clinton versus Obama in 2008. They haven't really had their turning point USA. They got their Candace Owen type figures in the Democratic Party or on the left. They had their James Carvilles, their, you know, who criticizes all the Democrats whenever they lose. They have their own versions of what the right has. They just haven't had a, they just don't have a public forum where they really have these things they settle, or these big issues. Are fought about, debated in a public sphere, and they get all the media attention. Anyway, 251-343-0106. We spent all that time talking about it, but does it, well, while this is going on in the backdrop, are people paying attention? And I don't think they are. I don't think it's as relevant. Hey, this is a great story here before we go to the break. What's not great? It's good. Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur. I guess he was doing some Christmas shopping. You got to see the lead. It's the lead at 1819 News, 1819news.com. And discovered that there are some variations of Godiva chocolate with a price tag of $55. Turns out it. There's a $72 version of well, as well, that qualifies for SNAP EBT eligibility. In other words, if you have money on your SNAP card, you can buy groceries apparently through Amazon.com, which I did not know. But among the eligible items are variations of Godiva chocolates. Isn't that like, that's insane. So anyway, Sarah Orr puts out a Facebook post, and I assigned one of our reporters to go interview him about it. The handful of Democrats in this state are just triggered by this. How dare Arthur Orr, during the holiday season, draw attention to $55, $72 chocolates eligible for SNAP benefits to be used on during the holiday season? Just who does he think that he is? More on that on the other side. It's just not a good look if you really like these kind of programs, these social welfare programs. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Tell me to stay away from the train line. She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine. Hey, I was country. Welcome back to the Jeff Horn Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. We do appreciate it. So we talk about this as going to break there, and if you get a chance to see this, like I said, I guess Senator Orr was looking to see getting his wife or somebody, his grandmother or mother or whatever, some chocolate for Christmas, and he's looking at Amazon.com and sees that the high-end Godiva chocolates were SNAP EBT eligible, and says, "Hey, this is a this is not good for our, this is potential for abuse here. Not the way the good stewardship of tax dollars." This is a problem. And it triggered a bunch of people on the left. How dare he do this? Why is he playing a class warfare? But he's right. He's absolutely right about this, because if you're a believer in these welfare programs, and I say it all the time that, yeah, sure, the parents could be deadbeats, but should the children suffer? Should their children suffer? And the answer is, I don't believe that. So I understand, as inefficient, as horrible as these supplemental nutrition assistant program, whatever you want to call it, as evil as they could be, they do good things for some people. And so anyway, the problem, you see this, and it's just not, it's a bad look, guys. It wins more people. Number one, it wins a lot more people over. They start seeing virtue in conservative philosophies, which is fine. I guess however they get there is positive. But if you want, if you think that we should do more and offer more nutrition programs for those who are impoverished, this is not helping your cause. And for that reason, I mean, you need to be supportive. I think you need to say, hey, we should be doing this. But those of you who do have Facebook, go to Senator Orr's page, see what he's talking about, and then read the comments of people who are just absolutely upset about this. I got some text here. Leah, reference Epstein documents. Where were they when Democrats had them for 4 years? It's Leo, you know the answer to that question. And Leo and everybody else listening knows that if there were anything in it that would stop Trump from winning that second term, they would have that would have been released. Steve says it's Tucker versus Ben. Whenever Ben Shapiro tries to do this, I remember when he did it when Trump first came on the scene in 16 and he lost. It was ugly. I was there. Maybe he's learned from this. But there's such a more diplomatic approach to solving these impasses.
It's where I drank my first beer. It's where I found Jesus.
We got a lot more text here. We'll get to these texts. Some of them are kind of long on the other side, dealing with the AmFest situation. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Learn that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievement.
been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step in back of themselves and their slow moving.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Get to these texts here. Let's get a lengthy one. Listen to both the Shapiro and the Carlson speech from AmFest. Hey, I hate that we are out here fighting like seventh grade girls in public. I guess I lean more on the Carlson side of that. We need to be on the side of free speech and let everyone have their say. However, I agree with Shapiro that everything Candace and Fuentes says is completely moronic and they should be called on it. It's like you have the hall monitors versus that's the Shapiro crowd versus just a totally irresponsible, I don't give a you know what crowd. Neither is where you want to be in a conservative movement. As conservatives. But there's this group think, right? That we need to police our own and we can't be a big tent. The right gets attacked for not being a big enough tent by like excluding people like our buddy Quinn Hillier or any of the Never Trumpers. The sensible Republicans. But then on the other side get just lambasted for allowing a Candace Owens to be a figurehead. But it's sort of where the market is, and the market's not rational. The market wants Candace Owens, Nick Fuentes type voices, and like it's irrational. It's not the smartest politics. And I know there's been times in American conservative politics where Reagan or Buckley or people like that had to be adults and say, no, the John Birch approach is not. The conspiracy theorist, that's not the best look for the movement. It's a bad look for the movement. And so, but these things always happen. It's just we have them all the time on the right. They never have them on the left. They just police it. They crack down on it. They are what I think the Shapiros would like to see in a political movement where you take your voices that are potentially marginalizing and you shut them down. But this is the takeaway. If there's any takeaway from this, that's the tent. The America Fest thing in Arizona with this wide-ranging array of speakers, and that's the movement. It's divided. It is in disagreement, but in the end, it probably all comes back together if they have to. Pat. Meanwhile, this is what the left is talking about. It sends me a photo of something I can't read. It's too small. Oh. MAGA relatives. The one thing cult experts want you to do when talking to your MAGA relatives. So they're equating the MAGA crowd to a cult, but the cult has its internal turmoil. Toothless Bammer. Let's see. You got a lot to say here, too. You know, a lot of you people do have a lot to say about this, surprisingly. Maybe the riff is just what the New York Jewish community will mark Levin stirring it up as well. I was listening to Sid Rosenberg this morning. He thinks there's a huge rift. Republicans at TPUSA, Fuentes, Shapiro, Megyn Kelly, Steve Bannon, they aren't speaking with one another. A huge distraction. The New York Congress lady just dropped out of the governor's race in Congress. Trump and Republicans need to get this under control. Maybe I listened to Rosenberg too much. Old Sid, he's kind of the last of the old Imus in the Morning cast, isn't he? Yeah, at least Stefanik dropping out. She had to look at it. She's not running for a congressional seat either, but she looked at it and she's not going to win in this election cycle. It's a blue cycle. Lee Zeldin was, if he had had a favorable election cycle, could have been governor, but he had coattails and will forever be in debt to him for bringing us George Santos. Not on purpose, but she looked at it and I guess she saw that it wasn't her time. Mike, the TPSUSA event this weekend showed the very clear division of Conservative Incorporated. There are two camps, the Zionist Judeo-Christians and the traditional Christian worldview prior to the intervention of predispensationalism. You may think it's not a big deal, but just like people got sick and turned over being called racist during the BLM riots, people are sick of being called anti-Semitic for not supporting Israel and their criminal behavior. Neither Islam nor Judaism are friends of Christianity. Islam has always been overtly aggressive religion, while Judaism is admittedly subversive and deceitful per the tenets of their Talmud. Hey, Mike, you may be right about the whole discussion there, but I don't think it matters. Big picture wise, we want secure borders. You want stability in the economy. You want quote unquote affordability. You want a better quality of life. You want to get up in the morning and know you're going to leave the world a better place for your children. And the Israel discussion is such a small component of that in the United States of America. I would dare say that I think as far as culture wars go, and this is certainly a culture war-y thing. The LGBTQ agenda, the whole transgender agenda, and just religious freedom and the secularization of society is such a bigger deal. The failure of our institutions, the media, big tech, Hollywood, Wall Street, to me, all that matters so much more than what Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro are saying about Israel and Bibi Netanyahu. It's fine. We can have opinions on it, and we can discuss those opinions. But what bothers me about all this is that it is the central one thing that we're talking about. Now, you know, I don't think that Republicans need to yell to states or talk about their alternatives to Obamacare or whatever. But as far as this being the pivotal discussion in American right of center politics, it is a mistake. It's one of these things we got to figure out how to agree to disagree on. And when it becomes the top issue, when it becomes like what everybody wants to talk about, it gives oxygen to the Candace Owens and Nick Fuentes types. It makes them more relevant than they should be, in my opinion. I heard Erica Kirk endorse Vance for president 3 years ahead of the election. What about Marco Rubio, who is showing himself to be an outstanding Secretary of State, or Ron DeSantis, who understands the Muslim threat and does not compromise with sexual deviance agenda? The controversy I heard was that there are other good candidates, and it is too early to make an endorsement. It's hard to beat the sitting vice president. I believe, when there's no incumbent. I mean, there's exceptions when Hillary ran after Obama and Biden opted not to run. But just like with the end of Clinton and Al Gore, the end of Reagan and George H.W. Bush, right? The end of Jimmy Carter, 4 years later, Walter Mondale. And I don't disagree with you. I think Rubio has certainly proven himself to be a far superior candidate to what he was at 16. DeSantis, I just don't know. He was not impressive in 2024. There was a lack of energy. I don't know what it was, because he was the guy. Once Trump lost in 2020, he seemed like he was the guy, right? He had the momentum. He was doing things in Florida that were very, applaudable. So to me, yeah, DeSantis, but what happened? And is he ready for war this time? Or is he just going to be Mitt Romney 2.0, where we talk a big game and then he kind of flounders in 08 and then, okay, it's his turn, 2012. But I don't necessarily have an issue with the Erica Kirk endorsing the sitting vice president 3 years out. It's fine to start talking about that. It's probably about a year early. Robert writes, Christine McGinnis is making SNAP a campaign issue, pointing out the many concerns with SNAP. Get her on your program and she can explain the many issues with SNAP. We will, I'm sure, try to get all these ad commission candidates. I don't know them as well. We had Senator Williams on. That was a tough pull too, by the way. Unnamed texture. Who cares at this point about the midterms of the movement, for that matter? We are finally waking up and not seeing both sides are bad. Seeing that both sides are bad. All the leaders and bureaucrats in D.C. as well as the Pentagon need to be changed out immediately. Well, what do you? I mean, you gotta have these things. You gotta have these events like we had this weekend to change people out immediately. Like what do you want to do? Throw the bums out and replace them with what? Well, we got to determine the with what. So while you may say, who cares? The whole point of this discussion, it revolves around that one central component that we do have to do this. We do have to have these debates, the direction of the conservative movement, the direction of the Republican Party. We have to do these things in order to figure out what you want to replace all the bums you want to throw out with. The Jewish cartel owns the United States Corporation and 40 billionaire Jewish mob owns the media. That's from Ricky. Surprise. Jason. How could any true Christian be against standing with Israel in the Holy Land? It's the center of Christianity, or Jesus, King of the Jews, will return, not to mention the strategic importance of Israel as an ally in the region. We've had this discussion about the new covenant. I've asked a lot of these kind of localish evangelical leaders to, you know, what's your interpretation? It gets down to this for me. Are we prepared to completely abandon the old covenant? Does that the Jewish people are the chosen people, or God's chosen people? Some of you are. Some of you say Yes. I think you've got to leave a little space there, a margin for error. You don't give license to the Israeli government or none of that. But you got to be sympathetic to the cause and the existence of a Jewish state for that reason. I'm up for give the benefit of the doubt here. There's no reason to not be sympathetic to the cause and back a strong Israel. You can live up to both. At what cost? Sure, that's a fine discussion to have. But I don't believe you need to just all out abandon Israel and declaim what the New Testament says. 251-343-0106. Couple more texts to get to. We'll get to those on the other side. Stick around. This is a Jeff Flores Show on FM Talk 106.5. Would you please just go away? Back to the Jeff Flores Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Jeffrey Fiddler caught up in the next segment, so please stick around for that. Trump didn't lose in 2020, just like Nixon didn't lose in 1960. There's something to think about. Okay, well, don't get distracted here from the point I'm trying to make about the sitting vice president getting the nomination, typically. Pat, last I checked, America is a guide. The Jews don't need America to take care of them. That's what God is for. And this comes from someone who has a close stand with Israel, tie pin in the closet. We can stand with them all we want. Doesn't mean we need to hand them billions of dollars a year. Fine, but we got to talk about how do we stand with Israel? What does that mean? And some of it is strategic. But it also doesn't mean not give them a dime. Should we give them some kind of military aid? And we don't give them, that's the other thing, when you say we'll give them $1 billion a year. We give them $1 billion a year in assets, which the price tag on those things is so inflated. Now, yeah, sure, it comes out of our treasury. It comes out a dollar-for-dollar amount. What are things we could do to defray some of those costs? You know, there's a middle ground here where we check boxes and we're not just beholden to the Israeli government. There's like a crowd that wants to abandon them altogether. And then there's the crowd that if you dare criticize in any way, you're an anti-Semite on par with 20th century fascism, which I think is a little bit of hyperbole as well. More Ricky. I'm going to skip Ricky. I can only take so much of that in a single hour. And then one more Mike, who's going down this path as well. I wish the people of Judeo-Christian religion would learn what the Jewish religion teaches. Look into the Talmud, and you will realize that it's anathema to Christianity. There's no reason to leave the margin of error with the Jews if you couldn't be a Christian. I'd gladly flush it out of DM on X if you want, but your local evangelical pastors are flatly wrong if they say are saying that the 1948 Israel state is the chosen people of God. That's completely heretical. And then, see, butter knife, it's perfectly okay to criticize the Israeli government. Unnamed texter, the British Concord with the Ottoman Empire and the Rothschilds brought that land. Oh, this is Ricky. And they created the fake Israel to control all the oil fields of the Middle East. Ricky. You have a lot of time on your hands to think about these things. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Hey! Yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hill raisers. People get out of our way wherever we go.
From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll be in touch with the program. You know what to do. All you do is hit us up on that text line. Still to come on the program, we'll have Jennifer Fiddler here in just a moment, as soon as I can get her punched up here on the screen. Also coming up on the program, Dell Jackson. That's about a half hour from now. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Jerry Carl, who's running for Congress, his old seat in the 1st Congressional District. We're trying to get Josh McKee coming up tomorrow on the program. And other, at some point we'll get Rhett Marquez on the show as well. I think we have her, Representative Fiddler. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm doing great.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate it. Well, big holiday plans for you here. What's going on in your world?
Well, I'm out of town right now. I'm in Eufaula, which is where my husband's from, and we spend some days here during the holidays. We have a place up here, like to hunt, fish, just hang out. And then I'll be back in the district tonight, or this afternoon. I have a working meeting tonight, so still, you know, not too far from, you know, doing everyday activities. So we'll be there for Christmas and then just kind of back and forth throughout the holiday season. But we'll start the new year off. I'm going to be in New Orleans at a national meeting there on January 3rd and then back in the Baldwin County, you know, right after. So it's, and then session starts. I do have my town hall meetings for everybody listening on January the 7th. 5:30 in Magnolia Springs, 5:30 to 7:00. And then on January the 8th, we will have the ones in Fairhope at 9 a.m. and then again at 5:30 p.m. And those are at the courthouse on Fairhope Avenue in the upstairs area where our legislative offices are. They're in the Fairhope Courthouse. And in Magnolia Springs, they're at the community center. So it's just a busy time. We're going to take a few days off, but then hit the ground running. And got on the Alabama Legislature website. Anybody out there that actually wants to see what's going on, you can see that there's 132 bills filed. About 97 of those are in the House, and the rest of them the Senate has pre-filed.
Well, that was going to be my let's talk about the town halls real quick and walk through those, because it's probably not – something a lot of people have familiarity with. I mean, I'm sure you know, listeners have been to a town hall a time or two, but your town hall is the opportunity to bring things, matters to your attention. Kind of walk us through that. Like, if you need a response from the state of Alabama, or what kind of issues, what kind of matters do you handle at your town hall meetings?
Yeah, thank you for asking me that, Jeff. Just so you'll know, we started off, I usually, pre-session, I like to go over what our legislative session is, and I'll give an update on what it looks like, what we think we're going to cover, some of the issues, maybe some opposition, some thoughts on, you know, both sides, just some things that we're hoping to tackle in that session. It's also an opportunity for me to listen and to hear what issues that our constituents have, and that you can bring those to my attention. Our office is open every day, though. So the office number is 251-990-4615. And anytime any of our constituents have issues that you want to bring forward and you want to hear and find out what the state is doing or how we're handling something, please call our office, because we have staff there to help you, to help figure out what kind of issue we have and if there's something we can. And I'm always available to have one-on-one meetings. Like I said, I'll be back in the district this afternoon doing some of those. But the town halls, that is a good opportunity that people can kind of come hear what we've got going on. And if you miss those, I put them on our Facebook page, and you do not have to be part of Facebook to listen and hear what's happening. I post that on the Fiddler for House website, and everything that goes on Facebook is picked up on that website. And so you do not have to be members of Facebook. And in fact, 40% of the people out there in the district are not, is what I found out when I went door to door. So just so you'll know, that's out there. You can listen even if you miss the meeting or you don't know too much about it and you want to find out more. And so listen to those and then come. And just a good opportunity to find out what's happening in your state government. And then post session, I've been doing those since I've been elected, in the same manner. I do one in Magnolia Springs and then two in Fairhope, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And again, they're posted on my Fiddler for House website and on Facebook. I also do, the updates during session, so you can find out what's happening during our legislative session, which there's 105 calendar days. We have 30 legislative days out of 105 calendar days that we get business done and get laws passed in Montgomery. And you can kind of hear some of what's going on in those weekly updates that I do. And again, those are posted on Facebook, goes directly to the Fiddler for House website. I use campaign funds to help pay for that, for the production of those, and to get the word out to the people. So, I invite everybody to come to town halls if you can. Especially in my district, because I want to hear from the people in District 94, Fairhope and Magnolia Springs. But, of course, we represent all of Baldwin County and the people's voice from the area, State House.
Well, while we're doing this, talk about this. Let's say it's during session, middle of session. Session can go on for, in aggregate all of 3 months, but you meet 2-3 days a week. There's something comes up, it's a bill or something being debated, and somebody wants to talk to you about it. Like how does that work?
Still, but 251-990-4615. If you can call our legislative office, there's a lot of people that have got my cell phone and they can text me. Sometimes that text does get bogged down because you're getting a lot of information coming and going. They can get me at the office just near about as fast, but quite truthfully, when I put out 10,000, we put out 8,000 door hangers. Every one of them had my personal cell phone number on it. It's out there, and feel free to text me or email the office or email us. When people call in a lot of times and they'll say, vote no, I do ask for your name and phone number because I want to know why you want me to vote no. Sometimes people call in and they don't really maybe know the details of the bill. They just ask me to vote a certain way. But be prepared, because I'm the one that will call you back and say, okay, give me your give me your ABCs on this, and why are you feeling so strongly about it? And, you know, where are you standing on this? Because we do get a lot of emails, and if, you know, I see somebody I know especially coming back through and saying, oh, no, we don't feel, I will call and I will vet those. So, yeah, I appreciate people calling in.
Joined by State Representative Jennifer Fiddler here on the program. We're starting to see a kind of a flurry of bills filed for this session, and a lot of them, there's a lot of local bills that were bogged down from the previous session that didn't get through the Senate. But anything on your radar that we need to know about beyond that?
There's a couple annexation bills that are being filed right now. So you do need to be on that. One in Magnolia Springs, which is in District 94, is sitting right outside the, for a area to be annexed, the town or the city or the people may ask us to annex a piece of property into a community or into the town or into a city. And they do that because none of the property touches or is contiguous to the town or the city. We have one of those in Magnolia Springs, and it's just across, it's just north of US 98, would be west of town, but it's very close to the town of Magnolia Springs. So we have been asked to advertise that, our office has, and it has been advertised. I know there's the same sort of legislative annexation going on or being advertised now in Loxley. And that's on Highway 64, which would be, it would be east, northeast of, well, probably just east of town on 64. That's another piece of parcel. Again, it's not far out of town or out of the city limits. But if it does not touch or is not contiguous, the city cannot just annex it in. It has to be annexed in legislatively. And those type things cause some issues when the annexation is requested and it's far outside of town or a community or a city. And I've seen some issues kind of come up with that when, you know, a parcel's being requested to be annexed in and it's a mile outside of town or, you know, a mile outside the city limits. These that have been requested and advertised right now are literally within feet, maybe 100 feet of the town or city limits, or maybe 200 feet. It's just not there. They're not that far outside of town.
What's keeping them from making it contiguous? Like, why wouldn't you be able to just annex the street across and go across the street? Or is there a reason for that?
Well, there used to be a thing called lassoing, and you could run a 5-foot easement down a property line or the right of way and lasso in a piece of property. And we did away with that, and I'm not sure exactly when, but I actually worked for the city of Fairhope and in other cities in the past where I've seen where we've lassoed in a parcel, ran that 5-foot easement down the, you know, right of way and lassoed in and pulled somebody into the city limits that a property owner wanted to be inside the city limits. But we're property, if there's property around the town or the city that don't want to come in, those property owners don't want to pay, you know, the higher ad valorem taxes, or they want to go out and have their own bonfires and, you know, in the outside of city limits, or, you know, shoot a gun or whatever the town and the city ordinances have, they're not going to want to kind of abide by them. They just stay in the county. And when they stay in the county and they decide to, you know, be that county resident, then, you know, they're not contiguous. They don't come in. The property owner has to request the city or town to come in if it's contiguous. And so if they don't, then your next property, you know, owner that's near their property or near that property will not be able to come in just by a request to the city or town. They'll have to be legislatively annexed, and that's when we become involved with that process.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of more of that when people live in the county, they don't want to be part of the city, so it forces it on you guys, which is Tell me this, and we'll get you out of here on this. That seems like a very, very hard lift. Maybe not hard, you know, sure, people go along in the legislature with generally what people want locally, but it takes an act of the legislature to get something done, and maybe not the most efficient.
I guess the controversy that I've seen, when you're a couple miles outside the city, your property owners that are way out there, 2 or 3 miles outside the city, they don't want to be, you know, the reason why they're outside the city is because they've never really wanted to come in. And that, when all those property owners, except for the one parcel, don't want to come in, it can get, you know, very, it can get contentious, because you're going to have some of your legislators that think, well, no, they're out there and they're, you know, everybody's living that way, and they don't want this one little parcel next to them inside the city, because it's going to change, you know, the way, you know, they've got their property. And then you've got other legislators that say, no, that's their property. If they want to come inside the city, they ought to be able to come inside the city, regardless of, you know, what the adjacent property owners, how they feel. So it can become somewhat contentious. But those are the circumstances when they're far away from the city and the town, not necessarily a stone's throw or 200 feet down the road. That makes sense.
Well, Representative, thanks for hopping on real quick this morning, and we'll be back to normal protocol in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Have Merry Christmas to everyone, and I guess I will not talk to you until after the new year again. So I hope everyone has a wonderful Christmas, and thank you so much.
Thanks again. State Representative Jennifer Fiddler there. We got to get a timeout in here. Be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
True as mine. Good night, angel. Sleep tight, darling. And close your pretty brown eyes. Look away. Look away. Look away. Dixieland.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. All you got to do is text me, and we'll do our best to get to whatever it is that is on your mind. Next segment, we'll hear from Dell Jackson, WVNN, Yellowhammer News, and then the 11 o'clock hour. Jerry Carl, former congressman. Kind of a lull in the real action in D.C. And it's just the thing that that has captivated our friends in the media the most is the lack of, I guess, Epstein file documents. But, you know, that the Democrats won a narrative. They won here because look what it's done. Not that I was like, yay, Marjorie Taylor Greene, but some of these members that were, you know, maybe reliable allies, maybe you wish they wouldn't publicly admonish their own party in certain ways, but fine. I mean, you know, you need guys like this who are checks and balances on, like the Masseys, who are a good check and balance on the system. But this whole Epstein thing, that should have been a Democratic phenomenon, because he was a Democrat. He supported Democrats. He played both sides of the aisle, because that's what you do. But somehow or another, the Democratic Party has successfully branded him as a Republican liability. It's remarkable if you look at it. Let's go back to, you never heard of Jeffrey Epstein before, ever. And in 2016, you start hearing mentions of it. And you start hearing the sexual impropriety allegations, you start hearing about it. Everyone dismisses it in the media as some kind of like Republican crazy tinfoil hat thing. They don't even dismiss it. They don't even acknowledge it. They don't acknowledge conspiracy theories. But you know, you get my drift here. And then Trump kind of runs on it. And then next thing you know, it's like, it's a liability to Republicans, and it's really torn apart the Republican caucus on Capitol Hill. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show. Joining us now on the line, we do this every Monday, the last Monday before the Christmas break here. But Dale Jackson from WVNN and Yellowhammer News is with us. Dale, good morning. How are you?
Could not be any better. Excited, ready to get into it.
Oh, really? How disappointed are you that the Jeffrey Epstein files were not released on time?
I just know that eventually I will learn that everyone that I dislike is a pedophile and everyone that I like is not. So I eventually, once we get this information, everything will be fine.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I guess they should. They should follow the law. It's a bad look. But I'm not sweating it, are you?
No, I just don't care. There's never been an allegation that Donald Trump has done anything crazy or wrong with Jeffrey Epstein or any of these young girls or any of that stuff. And they're going to continue seeking it until they find it. And if they don't find it, that becomes part of the cover-up. As long as you accept that, then I'll go further than you are. I don't care. Right? When they show me, and Bill Clinton, look, Bill Clinton's there. What's he doing there? If they don't care about that, then what are we doing here?
The Sunday shows yesterday, they acted like, well, they cherry-picked guests. It's like Rand Paul, Thomas Massey, and then every other Democrat imaginable. And this is an outrage. This is a violation of the law. And, what I don't understand, I guess, why is the DOJ slow-walking this? It just causes more drama.
Yeah, so they can put Bill Clinton out there and be like, look, what a bunch of hypocrites you are. You haven't cared about this since for 20 years, and now all of a sudden you act like you do. I mean, that's the only thing that you can...
Is it working?
I don't know. I don't know. Like the Politico, they were like, oh, the go-to villain, Bill Clinton. And then the New York Times, like, Bill Clinton can't escape scandal. It's like, wow, that is... that really is one way to frame all of this and to act as if he's just hanging out. So basically Bill Clinton is doing the stuff that you suggested Donald Trump was doing, but you have no images of Donald Trump doing it. So therefore Bill Clinton's fine. Like what's the takeaway there?
Why not release the Clinton stuff like 2 days before the deadline? Then everything else you just dump.
I don't know. I don't know the answer. The whole thing is moronic. It's been moronic since they've been talking about it for the last 10 years. Trump could have released it. He didn't see any value in releasing it. Biden could have released it. He didn't see value in releasing it. And now here we are doing it this way. And it's just, again, this just happens to fall on Trump's plate. It's his fault. He's the one who said they wanted it. So go for it.
Well, yeah. The people who care about America Fest, are you aware of AmFest that took place over the weekend?
I am aware it exists. I am aware at the event There was a bunch of Ben Shapiro is the worst. The Jews are the worst. The Jews are the best. Ben Shapiro is the best. I mean, whatever. To me, I look at this and I have very little room in my brain for Candace Owens and the like. Jack Prosbiaks and the Benny Johnsons of the world. I just don't have any interest in that kind of stupid nonsense. Ben Shapiro is hands down the classiest, best actor in all those groups and out of all the people fighting right now. Tucker Carlson is apparently your good friend, but man, he has gone from Christians are being slaughtered all over the world to how dare you rip on the Muslim Brotherhood, which is weird.
If you listen to the entirety, and I know you didn't, the entirety of the speech, I mean, everything, this is what they're doing and with Tucker, everything is so cherry-picked. It's like they find, if you take it and isolate it by itself, it seems insane. But if you listen to the whole whatever half hour speech, you're like, all right, I don't know, I would have done that, but I see where it fits
it's
in.
It's just the way he's framing it himself. I mean, I watch.
Yeah,
his
but
YouTube,
but,
so.
I mean, but you didn't watch the whole thing. I mean, it's like a themed speech, right?
Yeah.
It's like somebody taking something you said on your radio show for over the last 10 years, and this is what this is all about.
Can we talk about from Tuscaloosa to the sea, the West Corridor shall be free? Can we talk about that?
We'll get there in just a moment. I got to bring up something. I don't know if you've been looking. Have you checked out your boy Arthur Orr's Facebook page in the last, 24 hours?
I have not, but I guess I should. What am I missing?
Well, I guess he was doing some Christmas shopping on Amazon and stumbled upon an EBT eligible item, a Godiva chocolate, I'm fine with his commentary. He's absolutely right here. Saying we have problems here with our social welfare system when, you know, you can use your EBT benefits to buy Godiva chocolates or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it has absolutely triggered the likes of my buddy Josh Moon and other left wingers, like how heartless is this Richie Rich right before Christmas.
Well, that's why he wins and they lose. I mean, that's as simple as I can put it. They should understand that if they were sane, they would go, this is wrong, and we fully support fixing this to make sure that these people get the right nutrition, and that would be the end of it.
Because my approach would be like, okay, you can say whatever you want to about Orr and the timing or whatever, but like, it's not a good look if you believe in the social safety net, if you believe that these benefits are good and they have a positive outcome. Democrats really believe that and they have their reasons. This is not a good look.
No, they look like people who are going to scream and say they should be able to buy Godiva chocolate on the internet. And that's just it's like Arthur Orr, what a perfect and brilliant thing for him to choose. To highlight what an absolutely brilliant thing, because he's going to be able to turn around and lay out exactly how out of touch these people are. And he can print this out and take this down to the legislature and say, okay, here we go.
You've got to go through the comments. And I know you're not a Facebook warrior anymore, but the comments and the people, like they posted this on some message board somewhere to go after him.
Yeah, the worst people in the world. I already see them since you mentioned it. There are certain school board members and other losers and irrelevant clowns on here doing.
They are fired up. Hey, but I did want to give you the opportunity. Let's get into the West Alabama corridor. Mm-hmm. Let's do your guest on Friday, Senator Orr, talk about it. And he's right. But we haven't heard your take now that it's had a chance to kind of the $730 million in bonds has been let.
Well, I think the take is as follows. This looks like a road that isn't needed, that not very many people want, and that Governor Kay Ivey is providing on her own accord to an area where I guess her donors have said, hey, we would like this on your way out. And wouldn't you like to be responsible for a major project that down the line they're going to be able to say things
Whoa, the part about her donors, so I'll elaborate on that.
Well, I just mean, I assume she's talking with people who want this road to go from Mobile to Tuscaloosa, right?
Well, I mean, the forestry or like what are the industries there? There's not like heavy industry there, but there is.
Somebody wants this road to go from point A to point B. It wasn't her.
You don't think so?
You think she just did this on her own?
She's from Camden, Wilcox County. She wants to leave a marker in the black belt, and this.
I didn't mean that in like a nefarious way. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting.
Well, I can see her wanting it for that reason. This is where where I grew up and whatever. And
well, maybe that is the case, but the simple fact is, there's no reason to put it there. We got road needs all over the state. Up 65, 565, everywhere. We have some real needs in North Alabama.
Well, let me ask you.
You guys have that bridge now that you guys are still messing around with.
Yeah.
After you killed it. You got all sorts of other stuff going on here.
Let me run this by you, though. Because I get hung up on this, and lawmakers, Jeff, you're just crazy, or you're wrong, or we can't do it that way. But I get it. Like, the governor should have an agency that is able to build turn lanes and put up red lights or stop signs or maybe even do some bridge construction or whatever it may be that does transportation policy. However, a billion-dollar road project without any legislative input, none. And this is allegedly the legislative branch has the power of the purse strings. And to me, like she just does this. And there's no like pushback or there's rhetorical pushback, but there's nothing we can do about it because this is the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have, a governor who could make these big, giant, billion-dollar decisions like this. Seems insane to me.
Yeah. Well, should she be able to do it on her own? Right.
I mean, do you think she should?
I don't.
I absolutely don't.
But if you said she's doing it on her own, isn't she actually doing it with the DOTs, with the professionals that she's appointed?
Well, yeah, but she has said to John Cooper, the director, like, build me this road.
And right, then, of course. And that's, again, not suggesting. Look, we all know in the past, Robert Bentley was like, hey, no more road dollars for Bill Holzclaw's district in Madison, Alabama. I mean, so this kind of stuff happens. And here's what I will say. Whoever's upset about this, who's not named Jeff Poore, has been very quiet.
Well, it's the lieutenant governor.
Okay. But what about the other members of the legislature?
Senator Elliott.
who can do something. Hold on. But where are the power players that are saying we're going to defund DOT?
Where are they?
They obviously don't care. They don't view it the same way you guys do.
Are they just scared of the guy? Bentley could never get away with something like this without Ed Henry going to articles of impeachment or something.
Are they? I think the gist of it is, they're mad about it, but they're not that mad about it.
I'm just, it's a billion-dollar road project, and, so what? It's $1 billion. Somebody's going to build it. But to do it without the matching and to do it, you're hamstringing future administrations, and those future administrations are not going to be able to do the road projects in your districts. Mm-hmm. Your districts are not going to get a road project because all everything has been sunk into this West Alabama corridor, and it's just crickets.
Yeah, that's true. And you also, I think last week you brought up to me, Tommy Tuberville. He's going to have to deal with this because he's the governor-elect, a national championship winning head coach. So U.S. Senator Tuberville is going to have to deal with this, and he hasn't said anything about it.
As I said, no, and we'll see. But I just think $1 billion project, like, shouldn't somebody like in the legislature say?
Well, Jeff, I hate to tell you this. Don't take this the wrong way, but man, you have been pushing this for weeks. Where are the people?
Well, this is all my audience thinks that this is a crazy project, but I'm not delusions of grandeur. Like, I'm not.
I don't know, man. I pushed some people out of some races in the last 2 weeks. I mean, why have you not been able to move the football on this?
I don't know about that, Dale, but
I pushed Paul Feinbaum out single-handedly and AJ McCarron.
We can take credit for I guess things that we don't really deserve credit for.
Okay, all right, that's fine. I'm just saying, look, we've talked about this a lot, and I asked it to people. Someone asked me to ask this this to a couple people, and I thought that's
you're one for two in that category.
Well, he didn't come on my show. I'm sorry. He was off that day.
Yeah, you've asked the people. You mean a person. But that's anyway, Dale, folks want to find you online.
You got what you wanted at 1819news.com.
Folks want to find you online and not argue with you. How can they do so?
At the Dale Jackson right there on all social media platforms. Also, Kalen DeBoer was never going to Michigan.
Yeah, I forgot your sports hot taker, too. Yeah, those are really riveting, guys. Dale Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Another iPhone, traffic's obnoxious. Dad's at the office. He got to pay for mama's Amazon boxes. And all the Starbucks.
Back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Jerry Carl, congressman, former congressman running for Congress, with us in the next hour. So stick around for that. Addendum to lawmakers who have spoken out against the, not the West Alabama corridor per se, but just the way it's being handled. Our House Pro Tem Chris Pringle has, in fact, in contract review on numerous occasions, spoken out about this. I just wanted to make sure we get that for the record. But, you could count them on one hand out of 140 lawmakers, right? Not that they've had the opportunity to really – you just don't have – like these public affairs programs around Alabama, like we Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor do, where you ask a lawmaker, hey, what do you think of the West Alabama corridor? But so far, we're up to Pringle, Senator Orr on Dale's show on Friday, Senator Elliott, and Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth. And I'm telling you, there's not a real clamoring here for critics because they just don't want A, to get sideways with the governor. That's always a risk. B, you look like you're picking on the weak kid when you start talking, criticizing a big infrastructure project for West Alabama. But what I don't understand, and I said this to Dale in the last segment, like, look, this is going to tie down Rebuild Alabama money for 20 years. That Rebuild Alabama money that most of these guys voted for is not going to be available for stuff in your district because it was used so inefficiently in the most inefficient manner possible. Now, I know what the lieutenant governor has been saying. We could have had an 8-1, 9-1 match. Well, let's just give the governor the benefit of the doubt. They could have gotten some of that matched. Maybe not at a 80% to 20% ratio, but you know, even if you got 50% or 30%, whatever. And they didn't try. And so when they have an argument or when they talk about this publicly, this project and the critics, they're not being honest with you about it. They're not being honest with you that we're doing this in this way because we want to get this done before Governor Ivey leaves office in 2027. That's what's going on here. They're not being honest with you guys. They don't have any reason to be honest. It's not like this governor has media appearances and press conferences or things of that sort where you could say, hey, Governor, could you have done this in a better way? Hey, Governor, watch the rush on this. And the governor gets her spokeswoman to go out and they'll put out some kind of just like boilerplate, obnoxious, how dare you ask response. And it gets back to this. She won her election by a big margin. Was it close? What other takeaway is there that there's a mandate for this? Now, I'm still going to gripe about it, but that's what we got. And I think there's this attitude, and Senator Orr sort of alluded to it on Dale's show on Friday. She was the one who did the heavy lifting to get it passed. She threatened lawmakers. We all know about the infamous whiteboard story. She held grudges. If you voted against it, well, you were against her. And if you were against her, she was going to remember it. She's a very vindictive way to govern, but she's governor and she won the election. So you had this West Alabama corridor now. And people knowing what they know about Governor Ivey, you don't want to get on her bad side. Because she keeps a list. But what's a little bit of a struggle for me on this one, she's only going to be around for another year. And as I said, this is going to tie down funding for your bridge project, your roadway expansion in your district. There's not going to be any money there. As one lawmaker told me, when KIV leaves office in 2027, you're going to walk up to the executive suite and it's going to look like the Grinch who stole Christmas. There's going to be nothing left. The cupboard will be bare. There's going to be debt. All the expendable money that she has power will be depleted. And this is what the next governor is inheriting. And the next governor, apparently Tommy Tuberville, hasn't gotten around to speaking out on any of this yet. 251-343-0106. We'll get to your text on the other side. This is the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Now, if your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, then I get...
Like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. Like a rhinestone cowboy.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll get to your text, so please keep them coming. Joining us now on the line, he's running for his old congressional seat, but regular on this show, always a pleasure to bring on former Congressman Jerry Carl. Congressman, how are you?
Merry Christmas, Jeff Orr. I am doing fantastic.
Well, how's the campaign going so far?
Campaign's looking very strong. Our folks are excited. We're ready to get New Year's past us so we can kind of fully fledge, get everything kicked off, and we're good to go. I'm so excited to be back on campaign trail. I can't stand it.
Well, I guess we'll talk a little X's and O's. Like, you performed well in the Western half of the district last time around. You struggled against Congressman Moore in the eastern part, and that turned out to be the difference. You feel like you're making any headway there, improving on last go around?
Well, we picked up the Farm Federation endorsement. You know, the Farm Federation did not get involved in Barry and I's race, but we did pick their endorsement up in this one, which is huge in the Wiregrass. Obviously, being such a farm-related community. And also the Marine, military over there, being around Fort Rucker. We've got a strong, strong military following here in Mobile that we're going to actually take over into the Wiregrass with us. We're going to get pull from a lot of help, from a lot of support from our veteran community here. And I think we're going to be able to pull it off. You know, the Wiregrass is wide open. Our polling tells us that, it's really an open field. There's a handful that do know Jerry Carl, but the other candidates are virtually an unknown. So it's a start from scratch. I do have something to start with, which is name ID, and we just got to tell our story, tell folks what we've done, how we've done it, and why we've done it, and how we're going to improve on top of that.
Well, something that's been on my mind, and you and I talked a little bit off air about this, but
So a lot of this discussion about the West Alabama corridor, and look, I don't have to talk about the merits of the project. I'm more interested in trying to get, like, federal funding for this and the, sort of the nuance of the approach you take. How hard pursuing something like this when you have, I guess, the state has a bunch of other things on its mind that it needs federal matching money for, but something like this, like, it was this ever on your radar, and what do you think you're running now? Is it too late to pursue some of these options?
I think that project has never been on my radar. My radar has always been the Bay Bridge and the Causeway, the replacement of the Causeway. I think we're a lot closer to that. I'm hearing rumblings from the inside of D.C. that Trump may change some of the regulations where we can probably save $1 billion on that project. So it's going to put us a lot closer to being able to build the new bridge and the Bayway. I'm going to do an op-ed after the first of the year, and I'm going to call it. It's going to be down and dirty. I think people need to understand the national security involved in that Bay that bridge and doing away with those tunnels. It is something we have to focus on from a natural, from a security standpoint. The road project you're talking about going up through the Black Belt. Yeah, I'm not opposed to that, but I think that money would be much better used if we used it on the projects that we've got now, which are pre-existing, and then figure out ways outside the normal that we can start looking at raising money. I know it's a state project, and I'm not going to get my nose in the state legislature's business, but just like on the federal side, you know, our rural hospitals are in such struggle. I sent you a group of numbers there. We got to looking at that for one hospital. All we were looking at for one hospital, we made the argument with HHS that they could rob pennies from other hospitals across the nation, and we could bring the prevailing rates that they pay nurses and doctors and hospitals in the Mobile area to compete with the Pensacolas and the New Orleans because the rates in Mobile are so much cheaper. Well, lo and behold, when HHS looked at it, they actually figured out how it could be done statewide. And we're talking about a few $100 million for the rural health care in the state of Alabama. It's called a Carl Amendment. Right now it is sitting in the Senate. I'm sure it's going to be renamed. I'm sure it's going to be restructured in some way. But it takes thinking out of the box. It takes people that are capable of thinking out of the box. And we did that without raising a single penny in taxes, FYI. So why can't we use that same mentality on our road systems? Because we need them. We need them bad. But I think the one thing we in South Alabama got to focus on is the Causeway and the Bay Bridge. I think if we don't, you're going to see North Alabama just keep absorbing money and using it in North Alabama, not South Alabama. We have been ripped off through the years. I don't care what anybody says. If you get an economy like Baldwin County and Mobile County, and we feed the entire state, and that's our job, and we love doing it. But we want our share of the money back.
Well, talk about this. We've been having this debate in this state for decades. You know, the show horse or the workhorse, and you know, you have certain ideological figures. You have some who are really good at doing a little bit of both, with Jeff Sessions. But you know, historically, Alabama has put an emphasis on bringing home more federal money to Alabama, and you know, if there ever was a time for something like that experience, that know-how, it seems like it's on things like this. And I guess it's just a question of numbers, having only seven members versus, you know, whatever other states have in the House, or, you know, and also the way we change the way we do our earmarking. And you know, it just seems a lot more difficult to land these big fish, these whales, than it has been in the past.
So, Jeff, I'm told by Speaker Johnson, if I get reelected, I keep my seniority, I go back on appropriations. That puts three Alabamians on appropriations. That is huge. That is huge. So So you've got other states that come to you with projects and they say, Congressman, can you help me get this on this project? Okay, that's fine, but you've got this windmill project or you've got this solar project or you've got these other projects. I need to pull that money away from. Use that money on my bridge program. That's where you start. That's where you start playing chess with them. So the appropriations and who goes on the appropriations. If I'm not elected, it's going to be a freshman that goes into Congress. That freshman is not going to have a clue what to do, who to talk to, who to try to strike a deal with. And as much as you, most folks don't want to hear it, you got to have relationships with everyone in Congress. I've got a relationship with virtually everybody on appropriations. Virtually everybody on appropriations. That's important stuff. That's how we keep getting money for Alabama. We got Space Force in North Alabama. We got the FBI Center. We got so many things because of appropriations. The Richard Shelby's, you know, the Robert Adderholtz. I mean, the people that have been there a long time that have these relationships. Let's don't be too quick to give those relationships up. We have to keep them, especially while we're going in. I'm told that you're going to see many, many more congressmen that are bailing out. The atmosphere up there is just horrible. They gave me the number of about 24 more they thought were going to get out of Congress right after the first of the year. Finished their term out, obviously. So you're going to have a huge, huge freshman class. So we need to send somebody like myself back in there, Jeff, that understands who the players are, but who knows who to talk to, how to get it done, and do it.
Well, how are we right now? You lost Shelby a couple of cycles ago. The House delegation's intact, with the exception of you and, you know, Shamari Figures in there. I don't know how much longer Congressman Rogers is going to stick with it. I probably an upgrade in the fifth with Congressman Strong there. But, you're grading this and you're looking at it and the standing of Alabama among the rest of the other 49 states. How do you feel about it?
We cannot get a better grade than what we've got today. And that's in the House and the Senate. Katie Britt, Tommy Turnbull have done their job. You look at the House, Dell Strong, Adderholt, Mike Rogers, Gary Palmer from a policy standpoint. Everybody has done their job. We're hitting on all cylinders. We truly, truly are. And we've got to keep good people there. It's very important that we keep those good people there. You know, everyone says, well, they won't turn limits, but yet they got the best congressman in the world. They don't want their congressman to step down. Look, grade your congressman. He's not perfect. She's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But grade them. What have they done? How are they doing? Are their hearts there? Are they representing the state? And when you start looking at that for the state of Alabama, we have so little to work with. Alabama is a very poor state in the big picture. But we get so much accomplished because we're sending such great people up to Washington.
The staying power that do you feel good about where it is? I mean, you know, there's all kinds of weird dynamics at play. The swing in the from Democrat to Republican, and just, you know, Southern Democrats used to be the thing. Tom Bevel and, you know, Sonny Callahan and guys like that really were like very, very good at doing the constituency work and bringing home these big federal projects. And you know, to me, the politics are a little different these days than they were, say, in the 1980s or whenever.
There's no doubt. I mean, everything's changed and will continue to change. You have to change with the times with it. But when you can get three people on appropriations, Tom Young, who's chairman of appropriations, was at an event for me the other night in Washington. And laughing, he said they would have to nail the furniture down in Washington, D.C. to keep it from being moved to Alabama because we had so much strength up there coming on appropriations. There's a lot of truth to be said for that. But we also have to remember we're Americans. We also have to remember that we have to feed other families in other places. We have to make sure that you know, other, especially Republican districts, are taken care of. We can do that. Jeff. That is not an impossible task, but you got to have people that are capable of doing it, that have got a proven record of doing it. And that's where Jerry Carl plays is going to pay off. I've got 40 years experience in the private sector, 40 years in running my own businesses. I have 8 years in county government, local government. I understand infrastructure. I understand financing things like sheriff's department. And I've got 4 years in Congress. 4 years in Congress that turned out pretty darn good. You get a two-term congressman on preparations, you've done something. He's made a lot of friends and influenced a lot of enemies.
Joined by Congressman, former Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program. Wind it down on this, and I don't know how close you're following this, but this Epstein saga, and it seems like, now look, we're in the middle of a lull. It's the holidays. How many people are really plugged into this stuff? But yours truly is. And you know, the Congress passed the bill. The president signed it into law. All these documents were supposed to be released. I mean, should we be losing sleep over this, that we haven't gotten to where what people or whatever the law says that is expected of it?
Obviously, protecting the victims should be first priority. But other than that, I don't know why in the world they just don't dump it all. Say, here it is, go with it, do what you want to do. There's some people going to get their feelings hurt. There's some people going to get caught doing the wrong thing. That, you know, all that's going to happen. But, you know, delete the names and the pictures of the young girls, and I assume there's young boys in there too, but of the underage children that are involved in this, and protect them first and foremost. But let's get it over with. We got real problems in this country, and Epstein is not one of them in my mind. I think Washington's using it as a distraction, Republicans and Democrats. I just, for the life of me, I don't get it. I mean, that's the oldest sin in the world. Men have fallen in that trap for billions of years. Let's pull a Band-Aid off this thing, get it over with. Let's move on. Well, I just don't think there's anything there.
I agree with you, but it's what people seem to want. One caveat here, and it was one no vote. It was Clay Higgins from Louisiana. And I think he's got a valid point. Like, we don't do things this way. We don't release grand jury testimony. We usually keep stuff like that sealed. You know that it's not corroborated. On this one, and we're not going to do that. We're going to, this is fair game, and this is what people want. And does that give you any hesitation?
We've already agreed to do it. Bondi agreed to release it. The president said release it. Congress said release it. So if it says release it, let's release it. I mean, we got to honor our word. For me, I would never release it. I would have downplayed it and just stayed away from it. I mean, we need to be focused on China. We need to be focused on Venezuela. We need to be focused on our infrastructure system here. We don't need to be spending our time arguing over a picture of a blurred out face. I mean, I just don't get it. I truly don't. It's bad stuff, and people will pay a price sooner and or later. But we've got real problems in this country, and Epstein to me is not one of them. He's dead. He's in a very bad place.
Well, I think they want that if there's any if there's anybody associated with it, they want to get. Hey, Congressman, we're out of time here, but. Thanks for hopping on, and we'll do this again real soon.
God bless you, Jeff. Have a wonderful Merry Christmas, and let's remember what the season's about.
Former Congressman Jerry Carl there. Congressman, thanks again. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
My journey don't nobody miss. Is it any wonder that his face is the red? Girl, I drew that portal wouldn't be.
Have a good time. One day a wealthy customer bought the Indian maid. He took her home so far away.
Then he cried just south of Nashville, and he turned that car around. He said,
"This is where you get off, boy, because I'm going back to Alabama." As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, "Mister, many thanks, He said, you don't have to call me Mr. Mister. The whole world called me Hank. He said,
welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on what's left of this Monday morning. Tomorrow on the program, another candidate for the 1st Congressional District seat, Josh McKee, joining us here at the Fairhope Bureau, and also tentatively Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. Good morning, Chip. Please ask how much money Jerry is taking from AIPAC. Also, when does he get his dual citizenship? Now, I'm not gonna let that one go, are you? Let's see here. Unnamed texter. When the blackouts start, oh, this is from Ricky. You will see why you need to get out of crypto. I don't think I have any crypto. Anyway, Mike, is Jerry Carl's new talking point that he'd be able to fill Washington with more pork? That's probably a better approach than last month when he was trying to continue replacing blue-collar jobs and bringing in an infinite amount of foreign labor to undercut their wages. And then finally, we got Leo. Jerry Carl should run on how he's going to get our money back from Ukraine that he's voted to give them. All right, well, there you have it. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Hey, sorry, Jeff. I need a second here. I'm busy buying more crypto since Ricky's text. Loading
hey,
up.
Yeah.
Loading well, up Christmas crypto.
Ricky not good with his predictions. I haven't fallen dead from the COVID vaccine yet.
No, but there's time, Jeff.
So many other things that he said that were going to come to fruition have yet to.
But the nice thing is, Ricky's right on some things. I mean, if you predict everything's going to happen, you know.
Yeah, well, there's only so much Ricky I have a threat. You know, sometimes you just hit it, you know, and it's just like, all right, I get it, you know.
Yeah, but well, Ricky, we're working on maybe 2026 is the year of Ricky's own show, so he can do it there on the show. We'll work on that. Coming up in a couple minutes, Todd Stacy going to jump on with me. Also, later on in the show, he's been my house guest. He and a couple of his sons for the last few days. My friend Cameron Smith is going to join me. He and I'll talk. And then coming up in hour number two, we talked about items that are local gifts for the locals only Christmas list, but they are more like an experience than just a thing.
Right.
Victor Smith is teaching people how to be better boaters, better trailer backers, how to act at the boat ramp, all those kind of things. He's got a course for that. He's going to join me at 1:30 to talk more about that and right here on FM Talk.
We need more of that, like, sort of etiquette in public spaces. 100%. Where people are kind of don't really understand it. Maybe they're new to it. It's not something you just... There's like a YouTube video for it, right?
There are, but it depends on... Who's
out there looking for that, right? But I hear you. I got to get out of here. I'll try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.